Lord. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2, 1. We're going to do something just a little bit different tonight than we usually do. I want us to look at 16 verses that can change your life forever. 16 verses, so we're going to do what us preachers call expository teaching. We're going to look at these 16 verses. They're about the Holy Spirit, who is the most important thing in our life. You say, well, what about the Word? I thought the Word was most important. Without the Holy Spirit, the Word does not light up. The one who wrote the Word is more important than the Word written. Amen. But, the Word's very important. You know, we're Word people. So go over there to 1 Corinthians 2, 1. Are you there? All right, now this is what I'm going to do. I want you to get the gist of this so you can feel it as we go. I'm going to read the King James, and then I'm going to read you another version. The girls are going to put up just the King James version. I'm going to read you both and then talk to you about scripture, each scripture as I go, so you'll get the feel of what I'm doing. I am not doing this because I think it's some cute thing to do and a cool idea. I'm doing this because I believe you need to get this down in your spirit, okay? Amen. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 1 in an easier version now. My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom. Now, the Apostle Paul shows up in Corinth in Acts 18:1, okay? And if anyone could have been impressive, it's Paul. Paul actually had vast knowledge of the Torah. He knew the law. I mean, he just knew it. And he was very educated. He could speak well. He probably was a lot like Rick Renner. You know who I'm talking about? So, but he's determined here to focus on only Christ and the cross. He's focused on the gospel, on the good news, okay? The word here, testimony, or as in the second translation, it said secrets. It actually comes from a word, mysterion, and you can hear what's in there, mystery. Okay, they're words that go back. It's kind of like out of the Hebrew, will take you to a word and it'll step you back to one more primary word. That's how this one flows back. But it's the word mysterion, and we actually see it in the Bible 28 times in the New Testament. The mystery of God. Now, verse 2, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Or, here's the other translation, for while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with the reverence of God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. Now, the Apostle Paul was not afraid. He was filled with how important it was to present the gospel clearly to the Corinthians, okay? So that's what he's talking about. Verse 4, and my speech and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should stand in the wisdom, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now I'll start back on 4 and give you an easy translation. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you that the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom. Y'all getting that? Can't be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. So get this. Get this out of what we just said. He wanted the power of God to work through a singular message. Okay? He wants it to be very clear what he's talking about. Now, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that might come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Easy translation. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the progress of being dethroned. I like that. Isn't that good? Instead, we continually speak of the wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is His secret plan, destined before the ages, to bring us into glory. Okay, so then he says you're talking to the spiritually mature. Well, who are the spiritually mature? Who's he talking about? Well, we could say Christians. We could. And then I like this. I think we could say it like this. The ones who have been initiated into mysteries. Okay? They've been initiated into mysteries. They're getting revelation in their life. They're getting revelation. Okay? So, listen, a baby will eat anything puts in his mouth. He'll just put anything in there. You've seen that. You ran over and they'll stick anything in their mouth and you've got to run get it out of their mouth, right? Yeah. Sometimes doggies do that too. Praise the Lord. Boone tried to eat a pistachio shell today, so we just had that experience. Give it back. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, now, also we see the word wisdom here, okay? Do I need to read it again? Instead, we continue to speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in the mystery. It's a secret plan. Remember that? So we see this word wisdom. Now, Paul uses the word wisdom 16 times in the first three chapters of Corinthians. So he's big on putting out this word wisdom. Walk with me, okay? I'm going somewhere. Now, God has already determined and decreed his plan here. So the Apostle Paul is saying this. He's saying, okay, guys, I came to you. I wanted to be very clear. I wasn't trying to make it fancy. This is a Texas translation. I wasn't trying to make this fancy. I wanted you to see God's wisdom and his mysteries in power. Okay? And then he starts talking about this. He starts talking about that there are people who are spiritually mature and they speak this wonderful wisdom. Are you with me? So, verse 8, which none of these, now, so it can be, it's being spoken by the people of God, the mysteries, which none of these princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Easy translation. None of the rulers of this present order understood it. For if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Yeah, just get the picture there. They were going to do what they wanted to do to end this thing. But it backfired. And if they had known it was going to backfire like it did, we're going to see that again really soon. Yes, we are. God just talks through all the scriptures, doesn't he? Just for today. Praise the Lord. So they didn't get it. Now, I want you to understand that this is not referring to just government leaders, okay? But to dethroned rulers of darkness, okay? And they don't know. They know nothing of God's secrets. God had a plan before the foundation of the world. He already had the plan. Jesus said, I'll go and I'll do it. The devil has been, from the day Adam and Eve left the garden, the devil was trying to figure out who the Messiah was. He tried to kill off some, you know, he was always about trying to kill somebody off. Praise the Lord. So, there's nothing. How can I say this to you? I want to make sure you get this. I just want you to get this deep in your thinking. There is nothing so profound beyond the scope. I mean, there is something. Forgive me. There is something that is so profound beyond the scope of our reasoning.
Yes.
It's so profound. It's out there. You can't get it just in the natural. See what I'm saying? Okay, so that we're about to move into that, and you can actually see it into the scriptures here. I need to slow down so I won't hurry with this thing. Now, wisdom, this wisdom comes from above. Mysteries come from above. Secrets come from above, church. For where is above? It's the spirit realm. It's the dimension up. It's light speed up. We're light speed down. It's light speed up. Jesus' glorified body right now is light speed up. He could come in here and walk through the wall if he wants to. But in heaven, he doesn't walk through walls because they're all light speed up. It's a different molecular thing. Okay, verse 9. This is getting to the good part. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You cannot get it with your five senses. You can't do it. Verse 9. This is why the scriptures say, the same scripture, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are many things that God has in store for his lovers. You can't, you haven't even imagined what he could do. You don't even know all the things he can do. And you really don't know all the things he can do if you can't get beyond your carnal flesh. Yeah, I really want to go off on that, Lord. Sure do. What do you think? Okay. So you're not going to be able to sit in a religious church atmosphere where there's no spirit moving and get what you need to get from God. You know, it's not going to work. I've already been there, and it didn't do me any good. But when the Spirit is flowing, and the Spirit is moving, and even there in your chair at home, when the Spirit is lifting those words off that page, when the Holy Ghost is giving you rhema, that's what changes your life. Spirit and truth, church. Spirit and truth. Oh, there's so many things that need to go a different way these days. You can't just praise the Lord. I mean, this is about rising up in a place with God. Can I do that? Yeah, okay. Also, let me just go here. This will just be a side note, and we'll jump back on here. It is not a good idea. And I have friends that do this. I got a lot of preacher friends. And I got a lot of praise and worship leader friends. But I'm going to tell you something. It is not a good idea to just sing song. Now, I'm not talking about not singing the victory songs, but sing the introspective songs about being in a storm and how God's going to help you and how you're just poor and naked and broke. And that is not getting you close to God. You need to worship him. You need to praise him. You need to be talking about how he is and how you live from him and how you're, if we're going to sing about ourselves, we need to sing what's right about us and not just these songs about, well, I know you'll be there when we go through trouble. I want to thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost because I've had to stand there and wait because I'm the one that's going to preach. And they're singing this stuff. And I'm like going, and in my mind, I'm like singing something else. I'm like, Lord, get us through this stuff. Did you know, can I give you just a little spiritual thing that Deb taught me? And Lynn Mink taught her this. That when you sing those kind of songs that the offering goes down, it's a proven fact, isn't it? It's a proven fact that the offering goes down when people get all introspective and navel gazing and all that stuff. Instead of, our God loves us. You are magnificent. You are wonderful. You are glorious. We love you. You are the object of our best affection, Lord. Praise the Lord for these kind of things. And I'm gonna have a victory. Those kind of things are good. Now, we had to have songs in this era that have something to do with us. But most everything should be about lifting up Jesus. And that's where the power, that's when you enter into those realms, when you worship God and you just don't sing, well, I'm in the storm and Jesus is going to help me, and further along we'll know all about it and all that. Mm-mm. I know y'all still love me. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyway, God hath revealed them to us, this is verse 10, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Easy version. Y'all know the version. Can y'all tell what it is? It's the Passion. Yeah. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and the deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? He said the Spirit will tell you what will come. The Spirit will show you all things. The Spirit is your GPS. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit's not a wind blowing. The Spirit is a person. He is Holy Spirit. You don't need to even call him the Holy Spirit. You need to call him Holy Spirit. Glory. This is all revealed to us by the Spirit. 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Passion. After all, you can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit. So it is with God. His thoughts and his secrets are fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. So, man knows man's stuff and God knows God's stuff. So if you, man, want to know God's stuff, you need to get someone who knows it. And it's God, yes, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Okay, now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are given freely to us. So here we go, passion. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so they might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. You will not get your answer or know what is yours from the natural realm. You will not. Now get this. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Passion. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Walk with me. We explain spiritual realities to spiritual people. And you have to interpret spiritual truths. Listen. With and by spiritual faculties. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have to. Danny cannot FaceTime me with her phone unless I have one that does that too. Can't do it. Yeah, I'm going to FaceTime you. Okay, I have a, what do they call that phone? The flip phone. I'll turn on my flip phone. It's not working. It's not working.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not going to. You're not going to get the message on that phone. You're just not going to. You're going to have to go through the app. And the app is Holy Spirit. You're going to have to go through that to get it. Not with FaceTime, but, you know, with the other stuff. Now, Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, y'all know that. You've seen that. You've seen how people look at you and go like, whatever. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Passion. Someone living on the entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. That's why you can give people a break that aren't Spirit-filled. Because they can't get it. There's no light on. Even people when you're born again, you get Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you. But then you're baptized in the Spirit. You yield further into the Spirit. And when you yield further into the Spirit, you start going, oh. You awaken to some things. You're illuminated to some things. It's a different realm. And everybody's going, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened to me. I can remember distinctively understanding the word more clearly when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it was so much easier. I was like, okay. Because I had the faculty now. I had that app. I had what it took to get that to me. Because he was on a different level in me because I yielded to him. So some people are going, yeah, they're crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't get it. Because they can't. So you might as well just level them and give them a break. Because they don't. They will. They will. They will awaken in this season. But I'm telling you, you're like, I don't know, my friends are never going to get in on this. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Every one of them. Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, it's here. It's here. You know why? Because we're bold about it. Can't play church. Can't be seeker friendly. Got to be Holy Spirit friendly. I'm serious about that. Yeah, but we need to get people in so they can get saved. Go ahead. That's fine. But I'm telling you, we need to get people in and we need them to get saved. But we should not deny them the gifts of the Spirit and what God has for them just for numbers. Y'all still love me? Okay. So, without the Spirit, you can't receive the spiritual concepts. In fact, you can't access them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't get it. You can get some theory. You can get a little theology. You can get a little bit. You might even go, well, isn't that neat? Or you might get a totally wrong doctrine because people misinterpret the word when they don't have the Holy Ghost. And they'll tell you that healing isn't for today. And they'll tell you that God caused cancer. And they'll tell you all that kind of junk, which is a lie. Because they didn't interpret the scripture.
Yes, yes.
I know this is 101 for you. I understand this. I know most all of you personally. And I'm telling you, it's 101, but it's what you need to hear today. Because you need to be able to help people with this. They need to know where the faculty is, where the source is. 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That word judge right there is actually the word discern. And no natural man is equipped to judge you or discern you. They cannot judge you correctly. Let me just give you a good one that has kept a lot of wonderful people from coming to Victory Church. A woman preacher, because the interpretation of the scripture that says the women keep silent in church, and they just bit it and believed someone. It wasn't talking about the anointed persons that are talking. It's talking about wives, shut up out there.
Right.
So to speak. That's a short version. In their culture, I don't have time to go into it. But let's talk about it sometime. Because I'm telling you, it's a total misunderstanding. There have been people walk through the door, and as soon as they see me with the mic on, can't go here. See? What a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
What a lie. And if you read the Apostle Paul carefully, he's not commanding these things. He's talking about what they said. And then he says, if a brother be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now I'm going to go right back over here. But you see, there's a lot of those things. There's a lot of those things. Well, you know, they have a whole theory of speaking in tongues. They have a whole thing of, you know, and all the things that passed away. But when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they went, oh, yeah, this is right. Aren't you glad you're Spirit-filled?
Yes.
Aren't you so glad you're Spirit-filled?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we kind of take it for granted sometimes in a church like ours. I just want to remind you tonight that you're packing. See, the natural man's not influenced by the Spirit, so he can't make a good judgment about these things. He's not influenced by the Spirit. When you're influenced by the Spirit, you can make the right call. How do you know how to prophesy? How did you know how that comes out? An unction from the Spirit? An unction, and then you step out on faith, right? That's how you know. How do you know you're going to lay hands on someone and they're going to get healed? An unction? The Bible, John said we have an unction.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't get quiet on me. Hallelujah. All right, 15. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God.
Amen.
Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of God? Now this is going to be really important. The next two things I'm going to tell you are really important. Who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here's the passion. For who has ever intimately known the mind of Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. Remember when it said he perceived what they were thinking? He perceived. He did this. He did. You have his perception. You have his perception. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I think perception is a really good word to use there. It's because you need the right one. Now, let's think through this here. You have the mind of Christ. You don't have the brain of Christ. So this is still a spiritual matter. Your mind sitting in your brain, but your mind of Christ is sitting in your spirit.
That's good.
Okay? So, your spirit is connected to Holy Spirit, who's in there as well. In you, you're wall-to-wall God. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So if you tap in, you will not be in carnal thinking.
Yeah.
You know what carnal is, Carney?
Yeah.
Meathead? I got that from Brother Copeland. Okay, so it's your senses. It's your intellect. Well, you know, last time we did that, we just did this here and did that, and then it worked. Well, that could have been a good way to do something. But what if Holy Spirit? See, you just don't go by experience.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit could say, no, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what will work this time. God's not a slot machine. You're not dropping nickels and pulling that. You know, that he's moving, and you move with him.
Right.
And he has ways. He has ways to run that electricity. He has ways to where to move the cows next. He has ways for all that kind of stuff. Whatever it is you do, he has ways that he wants to do this. Amen. He has a way he wants to build a church. There's ways to build a church right here. It's called an apostle sends someone, and they apostle and pastor the church, and you can't fire them. They're not hirelings. I'm not a hireling. So I'll let you know that. So, yeah, the mind of Christ, but it didn't replace or kick out the other. You got your brain, you use it, and that's good. We're not talking about not using your mind, your thinking process. But, man, when Holy Spirit gets, I like to say this, I like to think with God. I just like to think with God. Do you do that? I just want to think with God. Okay, Lord, so look at this. So what do you think about this? And, man, he'll just go, well, or he'll go, uh-uh. No. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, we're going to blah, 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 and he'll go, no. And I'll go, Lord, we're not going to. No. Praise the Lord. But you engage, you tap into his perception. You get a deeper meaning. You can see what God has prepared for you if you'll do this. You can see what the next step is. If you'll launch in there to the Holy Ghost, you're going to see the next step. And I'm telling you, if you're any kind of leader, you better know what the next step. If you have a dream, you need to know what the next step is for your life. If you don't know any of the next steps, you need to go ahead and get in that realm and find out the next steps, because you really won't move forward until you know the next step. Amen. And they're ordered of the Lord, says the word of God. Lord, you're just amazing. I had no idea this would go this way, but praise the Lord. So, this is what it's not, and then we'll say our closing here. This is what it's not. Well, I'm a Christian, so I have the mind of Christ. So everything I think will be right. No, because there's a devil trying to deceive you. And he, you know, as Brother Hagin said, the birds can fly over your head, but they don't have to nest in your hair. So the whole idea, we're told over in that same book that we're looking in right now, just a little further into the chapters, that we're to cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So you've got two things talking, but you learn to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and you'll know his voice every time. And it's way different than the other voice. The other voice is a pity party. The other voice is a voice of fear. The other voice is a voice of, I can't believe they said that to me. That's that other voice. That isn't God. And so you begin to have the mind of Christ. And instead of automatically wanting to respond a certain way, when you have the mind of Christ, you can wait and respond the way he wants you to respond. Right? First words matter. They do matter. Praise the Lord. You have thoughts and perceptions of Christ, though, and you get them by engaging, by tapping into the Spirit. So we're going to close with this. How do you engage? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. When I look at your smiling faces, I'm like, oh, Pastor, we know exactly what you're going to say. You're going to say, verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the foundation of the world unto our glory. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, this is the way you engage. Amen. Click. 14:2. Everybody got it? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, the Spirit. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Stop lapping and start tapping.
Well, that's good.
All right.
Yeah. We always connect with God through words, do we? He connects to us with word. With word. We connect to Him with word. We pray in English and we pray in the Spirit. We prophesy. Tongues and interpretation. But it's all done with words. These words pray a mystery which will bring forth wisdom, which is what to do with what you know. So this is your ladle into the well. This is your bucket into the well. You dip down into that well and you bring up the wisdom of God. And you're going to dip down in that well by praying in the Spirit. Now, I've heard people say, some people miss this whole verse. And I'm saying, well, you know, that's supposed to be used in the church and in a certain way. And, you know, no. Look, it said to God right there that you're praying to God. So when we're, well, y'all shouldn't do all that together as a corporate in church. Well, it said right there we could pray to God. And then there's those gifts that they need interpretation. Because English will help people. But this says we could pray to God. And if we can pray it separately, we can pray it corporately. This is your answer. Well, you know, I knew you were going to say that, but you know, I only have yabba dabba doo. That's all I have. So I'm just going to have to yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo. Well, if you will pray in the Spirit, it'll increase. Your languages will increase. And it's not a machine gun. That's not speaking in tongues. It's a language. Oh, I might have stepped on somebody's toes right there, but I'll get right off your feet. No, become fluent. Now, when I've been here talking to you, let me get a witness. I'll pick you because you would agree with me anyway. No, I'm not. Have I used inflections to talk tonight in English?
Yes.
So why do we think praying in our heavenly language would not have any inflections?
That's right.
And why do you think it has to be you're not a typewriter. When the Spirit speaks, yeah, sometimes we're going for it. But, I mean, it's just like you speak it in your English language. Amen.
Amen.
Who speaks Spanish in here? Yeah. Repeat this after me. I want to say something to you in Spanish. No, say it in Spanish. God is so big.
Dios es tan grande.
Did you see her inflections?
Yes.
Thank you. Gracias, señora. Just want to prove my point to you. So these mysteries are being revealed. We're speaking to God, who in turn can translate this into your desires, into your future, into what you're doing, because words build tracks. What did John the Baptist do? He prophesied, bringing the valleys up, clearing the way for the King of Glory to come in on. He used words. When you're praying in tongues, you're bringing up the valleys, you're wiping out the mess, the hills, so that the King of Glory can come in and do what he wants to do in your life. It's what you're doing. So when everybody's praying in tongues and you're just standing there going, praise the Lord, I know they're going to be down in a minute, then you're not doing it. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I speak in tongues more than ye all. I'm after it all the time. And we're not shy about it. We walk through our house and through our workplace because we all work, five of us work together. And at any time, one of us will just break out. And it's interesting because it's like heaven. And it's like heaven at work, because all of a sudden everybody else just start doing it too. I'll go through there and I'll go, glory to God. And everybody, glory to God. It's the way we are. It is good, isn't it, Jesse? This is a good life. You remember what I told you before we came online? I said, he'll do anything for you. He loves you. We need to tap into these tools. Holy Spirit is so precious. And he'll just come up on you and amaze you and heal people and touch people and move on people just through you over at HEB, wherever you are, in the car by yourself. He'll, the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. You received this tonight? Thank you, Lord. Worship also does the same thing. Worship does the same thing. Here's the point. Move over into the realm for answers, solutions, and manifestations. Then you can have what God has prepared for you because he loves you. Amen.